Praise God. I want to start with a question today. You know, if you really wanted to make God happy, you wanted to put a smile on his face, you wanted to please him, what are the things you'd do? I need to hear from you. What are some of the things you'd do? Win a soul, obedience, walk in faith, relationship with him, worship him. Wonderful. And, you know, some of those God specifically mentions as things that please his heart. And I want to talk about one particular way that we can, you see, sometimes we can read the Bible, but just not break it down in a really personal way. You know, I thank God for that book, The Five Love Languages. How many of you have read it? Put your hand up if you've read it. If you haven't, please, everyone should read that book. Because, you know, it helps you to, you see, the purpose of The Five Love Languages is working out how to demonstrate love to someone else. It's not so that I can work out how other people can please me. It's not so you can tell someone else, this is my love language, speak it please. But in the five love languages, there are five different languages. You know, one of them is giving of gifts, quality time, physical touch, and it goes through them. And, you know, I understand my children's love languages. I think I know what both of their love languages are. It's just with my son, Benj, who's here somewhere, probably on the camera. He's in the box. He has an extra love language that isn't one of the five. And it's called food. And even from a little boy, when he's eaten and loved it, he'll want to literally get down from the table halfway through eating and come and give you, thank you, Mummy, that was lovely. I mean, literally, he responds to good food. Because so there should be a sixth. But when you understand someone's love language, like my husband, I mean, I'm now all five. I receive all five roots, I just worked out. But anyway, no, with my husband, like, what, I mean, really is giving of gifts. And I know that if I really want to just express my love and please him, you know, it has to be a thoughtful gift. You know, if it's not, like, even where I've bought it from with him. It's true, isn't it, Roro? And you can see the different expression on his face. Either he'll pick at it and look and go, that's nice. And he's thinking, she just drove 5 minutes to get that. Or he'll look and go, wow, oh, you know, and suddenly, you know. So it's great to know how to please people we love. Are you hearing me? And I just want to read from Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I just want to stop there for a moment before I read the next verse. You know, there are only two people in the Bible that didn't die, and this is one of them. And we don't know much about him, but he pleased God. He did something, and this is something I want you to see. Two people in the whole of the Bible didn't have to die. Only two that I can think of. And, you know, that's amazing, because death really is the final enemy. Death really is, you know, the one that, yes, oh, death, where is your sting? But it's an enemy. Are you hearing me? And yet the rest of us, unless Jesus comes soon, you know, we will at some point, by God's grace, when we're old and, you know, I was going to say gray and wrinkly, but I'm not believing for any of those things. I'll have you know. And that's not because I'm believing to go soon either. He renews my youth like the eagle. I was introduced yesterday, wasn't I, Marilyn? I was introduced yesterday as, and now it's a joy to welcome this young lady. I'll have you know. To minister to us. So I have no clue where I was going now with that. No, but I don't know why I got into renewing our youth. Death. He didn't have to die. What am I saying? He ended up soliciting from the heart of God exceptionally special treatment. Unusual favor. Why? Because he pleased God. You know, there are things that can be released from heaven for no reason except that we've truly pleased God. And that was Enoch's testimony. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible. Say impossible.
Impossible.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and, say and, that he's a rewarder. Say rewarder.
Rewarder.
Of those who diligently seek him. So, you see, when the Bible puts things together, it's because it's expounding on the verse before. Are you hearing me? So you see, what I believe verse 6 is doing is helping us to understand how Enoch pleased God. And there are two qualities here. Not just one. Two qualities here that I believe are how this man managed to please God. Number one, faith. He was clearly a man of faith. But not just that. He was also a man of expectation. How do I get that? Well, you see, what's a rewarder? You know, if I'm believing God is a rewarder, in other words, if one of the attributes that I see when I look at God is he is a rewarder, what am I doing? Expecting something from him. Are you hearing me? It's this optimistic expectation. You know, I believe one of the reasons the United States of America is so blessed is there's this amazing optimism in that nation. Often, it's funny, often I'm asked by Americans, you know, what do you see as some of the differences between the US and the UK? What are our strengths and where do you see our weaknesses? And one of the things I always say to them is I say, the positivity in this nation, the optimism is awesome. You know, I say, we don't have what you've got. Not yet we don't. Maybe we can have it in this house. Amen? Amen? I mean, you know, it was, I don't know if you saw it, but I watched the news one time in Texas when the floods had happened after the storm. You all saw the images of those terrible floods, and there was a woman that they interviewed on the news, and she had just lost everything, a business. And I don't know what her business was in, but there were a load of flags. And there was a British interviewer interviewing her. And they were basically saying to her, my goodness, you've lost everything. How, you know, how do you feel? And, you know, I was anticipating her response. But she said, well, this is the lowest it's going to get. This is a bad day, but we'll rebuild. What was the next half of her sentence? Are you hearing me? But we will rebuild. I watched the news and just went, wow. In the midst of her tragedy, when she had the opportunity to say, world, send us money. World, pray for us. Help, this is awful. Pity me. She said, we will rebuild. And I can tell you, that woman will. I have no doubt if in her despair, she has that outlook. Oh, my goodness. Faith and expectation. You know, the Bible says the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Now, I want to share a little bit with you about my recent trip. And, you know, I mean, I've learned and I never even fight with it anymore. That the moment I go through stuff, I know it's to share. I know I'll be preaching my embarrassing, awful moments. You know, sometimes I get to wait a couple of months, but often it's immediately. So this last trip, while I was in America, I attended a really big conference for a couple of days. And there were about 18,000 people, an amazing conference with amazing speakers. And God really, really ministered to me. And the atmosphere was charged. The Spirit of God was so strong in that place. But I was alone. And, you know, sometimes the bigger the crowd, the more you can actually feel alone. And I've done a lot of traveling alone. I'm used to being alone. And, you know, it was something that at one point I was actually nervous about. You know, years back, 2015, I remember God really dealt with something in me when I was, like, really nervous about traveling to America without my husband. And 2015, February, my first trip, it was awesome. And I loved the time alone. And I felt like I got to know God as my husband. And so I've never really, I enjoy that time. But somehow, being surrounded by so many other people, and it wasn't just that. You know, the people who I know really well seemed to either not be around, or they were in other places, in other rooms. And, you know, I was there, and I was always sitting on the front row, literally almost right in the middle, just a little sometimes to one side or the other, but right in the middle on the front row with my special guest badge on. You know, sitting there, and then it would come to break, and I'd walk up, I'd walk out, and I'd walk into the green room, and you know, it just kept happening now. Where I'd walk into the green room, and I'm like, who am I going to talk to? You know, and everyone seems to be huddled in their own little group, talking to someone, and I'm just like, you know, who am I going to just try and break in, and you know, become the person they didn't invite over to say hello, you know. And anyway, then that was fine a couple of times, and sitting back down and being in the auditorium again. And then there was one lunchtime. And I went over and saw some people I knew and went and sat down and said, oh, great, can I join you? He said, well, we're just off out. I went, oh, okay. So anyway, I then went, you know, standing in the doorway, waiting to be seated, and the host said to me, you know, who are you with, Pastor Joe? And I said, no, I'm alone this time. And she went, oh, I'm sure you'll find a friend. Now, there was something about that response that was just like a... And I'm like, and so she literally led me to a table on my own. And there were all these tables. And you had the kind of Taiwanese here, you had the Russians there. It wasn't a Russian-American thing, you know. The Russians there, the people from Israel over here. And I sit down alone, and I'm sitting there just, you know, starting to really churn now, thinking, this is just awful. I'm now going to eat lunch alone, surrounded by people. And, you know, the next thing, I know, I'm just sitting there. And I eat, and in fact, I actually FaceTimed my husband. I thought, at least I can have lunch with him. And so we had a little chat. And then we went back into the auditorium. Like I said, 18,000 people. And I'm, you know, shown back to the front row. And I turn around and look behind me. Now, you've got to know, not this one, but I'm wearing a bright yellow top. Like, really stand out bright yellow top. And I sit down, and I look over my shoulder, and then I look up. Two other people are wearing the exact same. The exact same, because it's really unique with these flappy sleeves and everything. The exact same bright yellow top. Not only that, the one who's sitting in the row behind me and two seats in is a 10-year-old child. And I'm like, no! And of course, keep this lovely smile on my face. And I sit there, and I start hearing this prayer coming out of my lips. please, God, get me out of here. And as I hear the words, please, I feel this check in my spirit. Almost this instant check. And I immediately knew what God was saying. You see, not every time that self-pity knocks at the door do we have to open up and let that foul attitude in. And I remember immediately knowing in my spirit, I must not allow myself to start feeling sorry for myself right now. I'm churning. But one thing it is to churn and to feel silly, and another thing it is to feel sorry for myself. And something on the inside said to me, and I don't know whether I was talking to myself or the Holy Spirit was, buck up, Joe, and believe. Buck up and believe. And I remember in that moment just pulling myself together and thinking, so what? I mean, I did feel just so conscious all the rest of that day, every time I looked at this child. And then, can you believe, the other woman gets a prophetic word from Sean Bolts. So the spotlight camera is on her, you know, and she's on the big TV, you know, with her arms up, showing the exact same top as mine, while she receives this glorious word from the Lord. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, could you not have done it tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? And then I'm still sitting there, and at some point they said, you know, go and give people a hug, you know, go and say hello to some people, and you had to find someone who was from a different ethnic group to you, and I was fine. A lot of them were beelining for me because there's a lot of Latin people. And suddenly my handbag gets knocked over, and I just can't tell you, because you're not all women, what rolled out and down. I'm like, no! And it was the man beside me, the Ethiopian prophet, who says, excuse me, woman of God. But you see, the Bible says, you see, it doesn't stop saying that the righteous get what they expect. I'm going to get what I expect, whatever is going on. And I just suddenly realized how many times the enemy tries to pull us into these pretty, please, pleading prayers. Are you hearing me? Something happens, you go, oh, it's just not fair, God. Please. You know, we've got this video at home. Miraculously, neither my son nor my daughter knew how to access this video, which I'm not utterly convinced of. But we have this video of my children, which my husband took one day in Sainsbury's. And you know how, you know, in supermarkets, all the floors are really slippery. And I don't know how he ended up capturing it, but both of them run towards him and scoot towards him on their knees, going, please, Dada! And they're asking for chocolate in the middle of Sainsbury's. You know, but let me explain something. See, when I'm using my pitiful mess to try and make someone, persuade anyone to do something for me, when I'm saying, but please, God, this is awful, because you see, at the same time, there were all these promises that hadn't yet been fulfilled. A couple of people had let me down with things they'd promised to me. Are you hearing me? You know, I had some things I had to get done, which every which way I've tried, it wasn't happening. But you see, let me tell you what really, because if we really understand our hearts, if I'm saying, please, God, look at my life, it's awful. What I'm basically trying to do is make God feel guilty. Truth, I'm trying to make God pity me. Well, for a start, he's not into manipulation. You see, I might be able to be prone to manipulation occasionally. You know, if I feel just really bad when I've said no to someone. And then they go, oh, but please, you don't understand. That's oh, okay. Because what they'll do is they'll be making me realize what a bad person I am, how mean I am. And you know, sometimes in the midst of those pretty please, please God prayers, what we're saying is, please God, you need to be nice to me. Now, what is the subtext? If I'm saying, God, you need to be good to me, it's somehow, God, but you're not actually good to me. Are you hearing me? You know, I want you to imagine, I loved the lines, I presume you wrote, Jen, adding on to Waymaker, Miracle Worker. You stole them. Great. Well, we thank whoever wrote them. But you see, whatever I see, whatever I feel, he's working. Let me just imagine. You know, imagine like you've got some financial challenges or some relationship challenges or work challenges, you know, and you've been praying and believing, and now you're just feeling really sorry for yourself. And you're just going to God now and saying, it's just not fair. Imagine what it would feel like if you have been working all day long making a birthday cake for your daughter, and you've been keeping her out because you want it to be a surprise. But you've been in the kitchen all day long. You can tell I don't bake cakes because I'm sure it doesn't take all day long. But imagine it did. And you've been slaving. Maybe it's a whole party you're putting together. And you come out, and then that person says, you're not very nice. You never do anything good for me. Why is not? And you're thinking, all that I'm doing out there. I mean, would you feel like carrying on? You see, I think so many times when we're feeling sorry for ourselves, and God's not very nice, and he's working in the background. And then we've got these scriptures, which means he's completely within his legal, within his own words, permission to actually hold back. Because the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. So if I'm expecting the worst, then you know what? If it doesn't all come to pass the way I was hoping, well, who might just be to blame? Me. Are you hearing me? You see, I believe that the enemy wants us to think that every thought that drops into our mind is okay just to splurge out. And some of those things that drop, you see, I'm not talking about pouring out the issues of our hearts in the presence of God. That's relationship, which is completely different to going, please God, this is just awful. I'm in a horrible state and it's not fair and everyone's mean to me. And you know, there's an interesting scripture where it says about the goodness of God, and this is Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily, say daily, daily loads me with benefits. Blessed be the Lord who daily, say daily. So maybe what we're supposed to do in the midst of the battle is actually look for our blessing. Maybe what we're supposed to do when it all feels horrible is to shift our focus from our own pity party to the goodness of God. You see, a praise party doesn't just delight the Lord God, but it changes me on the inside. Are you hearing me? You know, God wants us to be those that please him. Why? So that he can give us special treatment. You know, Marilyn was saying to me yesterday, she said, I know what you need. Because I was saying, you know, I was a bit tired and, you know, and she said, what, do you need a retreat? And I was like, no, not that kind. I said, I just need to have some fun. You know, and she said, I know what you need. You need a spa. You need a spa day. And you see, special treatment. I don't know what special treatment looks like to you. I don't know what for you would make you go, oh, yes, that sounds good. But you see, God wants to load us with his blessings. You know, and when we're just looking at how mean and difficult everything is, God's saying, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm good all the time. We say it on a Sunday, but we don't mean it half the time. Sorry. But it's true, isn't it? God is good all the time. I challenge you to say that next time you feel like going, please, God. And instead, to say to yourself, buck up and believe. God, you're good. You're good all the time. You're good when I'm up. You're good when I'm down. Are you hearing me? You know, I just want to borrow some people. I want Marilyn, because you're all in white and you look like a righteous person, so you can come here. So, Nick, because I haven't seen you for a while. And then we'll have Ludi and a man, Kamau. And if I can just borrow the four of you. In fact, I need an extra one and one more. I don't mind. Linda, thank you. So I want you, if you just stand here for me, Marilyn. Yeah, wonderful. And then the four of you, if you just move across a little so you're nice and centered, aesthetics and all that, you know. Wonderful. So I want you to imagine Marilyn, she's all white, the nearest I could see to anyone in all white. Oh, yeah. Lots of people in all white. We'll pretend you're not in all white for now. Oh, no, I know what we'll do with you. Yes, that's good. So I want you to imagine this is you or me. And you see, we always start out with the intentions of expecting the best. We start out with the intention of believing God. Isn't that right? And we get lots of different things. So we're going to start, you see, faith is Marilyn's friend. Faith is who Marilyn wants to be hanging around with. And you see, why is faith a fight? You see, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 10, that faith is of the heart. It says, with the heart we believe. So faith is in my heart. So attitudes are everything to do with faith. I can't have a bad attitude and pretend I'm in faith. Are you hearing me? Because faith is of the heart. You see, so the fight of faith is fighting over the attitudes in my heart. It's saying I'm going to guard my heart. I'm not going to let certain things dominate my thinking. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So the thoughts that come in, we've got to watch them. Not every thought we allow in. That's why it says take captive every thought. Are you hearing me? You know, when we can grasp some of these things, you know, we will be amazed at how many blessings start landing on our doorsteps. Because they didn't just land. Just like there's no overnight success. I mean, there's a process and a lot of work and laboring. Nothing lands. There's so many scriptural principles in his word. That's how some people are mightily blessed. You just need to work out why. What is it they're doing that is in God's word that I can learn from them and start doing too? Are you hearing me? Don't get jealous. Just learn. Learn from those who are getting the breakthrough. What have they done? How can I do a bit of that and have a bit of what they've got? Are you hearing me? Now, Linda, and no one's going to be in any way, you know, this is just illustration. So for illustration's purposes, for illustration. Now, I want you to see something. You see, you can let go. It's hanging. You see, I might have faith in my heart. I'm believing God for something. I'm believing God. You know, I went to this conference, not only believing God to meet with him and receive from his word, but believing God to meet some divine people who I'd connect with, you know, and so you go somewhere believing God. And then what happens is self-pity comes in on the scene. And self-pity is saying, oh, this isn't fair. You know, it's not fair. Life's harder for you than anyone. The minute you think no one understands, do you want to know the symptoms of self-pity? One of them is no one understands. Because it's and that's a lie. because the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says that no test, no temptation, and that word is test, it's trial, it's difficulty, has seized you except what is common. Just say right now, it's common. But how can we be uncommon in the way we respond to it? Are you hearing me? So stuff happens and we feel sorry for ourselves. Now, what self-pity tries to do is self-pity will push faith out. Go around. You can go. Push faith out. Push faith out. Yeah. Self-pity pushes faith out. Now, I want you to hear two things. Now, you've got to remember, this can start sounding like coming to God. Please, God. This is so awful, everything that's happening. You know, it's just not fair. In other words, what does the Bible say? Do not forget his blessings. We're supposed to remember the good things he did for us last year. We're supposed to remember the good things he did for us last month, last week, yesterday, today. Are you hearing me? Anytime I listen to self-pity, I'm forgetting all the good things God's done for me. I'm just, you know, that's all now rubbish. So self-pity pushes faith away. Now come back to, you know, you push, no, come back to her. Yeah. And you know, self-pity pretends to be a great friend because you feel sorry for yourself. And it feels nice to feel sorry for yourself in a weird way. I'm telling the truth. You know, and pity kind of strokes us, and, you know, it's a little bit like a cat. It's true, though, isn't it? You know how cats just slink up? They slink up, and they, you know, you can tell I'm a dog girl, can't you? I love cats, too, actually. But you see, it just tries to cling on to you. Let me tell you two things that self-pity opens the door to. You see, we've talked about how to get stuff from God, and that's faith and expectation. And if we stay in self-pity and we do self-pity prayers, do you know what? I think we're going to wonder why God isn't answering. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. It's impossible to be in faith and full of self-pity. The two cannot maintain and stay in the same space. There is no room for both. There's either one or the other. They can never both remain together. Like oil and water, you can shake all you like, but they cannot stay in the same space. They are diametrically opposed. Now, but let me tell you what self-pity also does. Now, we'll start with this one. Self-pity invites some of its friends in. Now, you're not slinking. Think about oppression. Think about what that... Yeah, you're not slinking. Oppression doesn't slink in. Oppression creeps in. And it's horrible. And you've gone from feeling sorry to yourself. Okay, stop now. You can preach another time, okay? You see, self-pity opens the door. We feel sorry for ourselves. Now we're feeling down. Then we start to feel a heaviness. And we just feel like, you know, there's just this horrible rock on the inside. A cloak over us. Oppression. Heaviness. And, you know, certainly this one will not be having a smile on her face when she's got self-pity and oppression. You know, now, some people might not have a propensity to oppression. You see, we've got to know ourselves. What are your Achilles heels? What are the things that you're prone to? And I preached a message a while back, you'll remember, about offense. Let me explain why self-pity always also opens the door to offense. Let me explain. You see, yeah, he's in a hump. That's brilliant. No, you can do that. That's great, Nick. See, I knew I'd chosen the right team. Yeah. Let me tell you why. You see, self-pity is looking at self as a victim and pointing at others as the reason why. Are you hearing me? You were mean. you didn't do a nice thing. You hurt me. You didn't call when you said you would call. You didn't remember my birthday. You know, it's been a really horrible time and you didn't pray for me. You. You see, self-pity pities self and points the finger at others. Are you hearing me? And I realized, oh my goodness. And you see, this is the thing. You'll end up feeling offended at some of the people who've blessed you the most. You'll end up being offended at the people who've helped you, who've supported you, who've been there for you, who've built you up, who've loved you, who've nurtured you. Why? Because the devil doesn't want to separate you from your enemies. He wants to separate you from the very people who are the connectors to your destiny. Are you hearing me? And I just fell in the presence of God and said, Lord, not only was I blaming you for being mean, now I was blaming for some of my just most wonderful friends. You know, God's given me so many friends in America. And I said, Father, forgive me. Are you hearing me? You see, if we allow self-pity in any form whatsoever, we are in danger. Offense destroys destinies. It separates us from our purpose, our mandate. It will create a rift in relationships and the root self. Self-pity, just take off the pity bit. Self, it's all about. Have you heard that story? I think it was about 2007 or 8, one of those years, and we'd had one of those tough years at church and just lots going on. And I remember we crossed over into the new year. We'd had our New Year's Eve watch night service. And then Sunday morning, we're walking into church. And my husband turned to me and he said, I've decided, let's call it 2006, I don't remember. He said, I've decided 2006 is all about me. And I remember going, oh, great, so I'm going to sing a new song. It's all about you, Paolo. It's all about you. But that's what we're like, isn't it? It's all about me. It's not about giving glory to God. It's not a, you know, and the awful thing about self-pity, about offense, about all these things is, you know, we end up judging. Do not judge or else you will be. You know, we end up holding unforgiveness. If you don't forgive, then God. We end up holding all this myriad of messy emotions and really unhelpful attitudes. And so often, the doorway is this one. But you know what? You see, this one's the righteousness of Christ. She has the greater one living on the inside of her. All she's got to do is open her eyes and realize, do you know what? I'm going to buck up and believe. She can start to kick these folks out. She can start to push them out. I'm not having you in my life anymore. She can go grab the person who she knows is a true friend. And she'll say, God, you are good. And your mercies endure forever. I want to be like Enoch. I want to please you. I want to fulfill my purpose. And I'm not going to let any of my enemies stop me from doing it. Hallelujah. Why don't we put our hands together for these people? Praise God. I want to ask you just to stand. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and I want you right now to think about what is that area in your life where the enemy is trying to create that pity me, that pity party, that sense of self-pity. And there might not be anything for you right now. And if there isn't, this is one of these messages to shelve. Because self-pity knocks at our doors. Sometimes on, depending on your personality type, on a pretty regular basis. And my prayer is that you'll remember this and that you will remember what to do with all of that. Just shut your eyes in the presence of God. You know, if you realize right now that you have been accommodating even any level of self-pity, whether it's been fleeting or whether it's been quite significant, just with your eyes shut before the Lord, just lift up your hands in the presence of God. And I just want you to tell the Lord, just say to him, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. And then in the very area where you've been feeling sorry for yourself, remember what I said, search for the benefits in the battle. Look for your blessings in the battle. Right now, start to thank God for what you're learning. Start to thank God for the opportunity to enjoy His love no matter what's going on. Thank God in this moment for the good things He's training in you, that He's putting in you, for the friends He's given you. If you realize you'd become offended at someone, just apologize to God. Forgive them in your heart. But then recall to mind all the good things they've done for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And let's just, with arms raised and your eyes shut, let's just say together to God, Father God, you are good to me. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father to me. You heap me up with benefits daily. I'm grateful to you, O God. I love you with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And just one moment, just remaining again, just with your eyes shut. If you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus, you know, if you were to die today, do you know that you would go and spend eternity with Jesus, or are you not sure? God wants you to not only live a full life here on earth and fulfill your purpose, but He also wants to give you that peace that you will spend eternity with Him. And if you're here today and you don't know for sure, just while everyone else praise, would you just lift up your hand so that I can lead you in prayer? If you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I just want to lead you in prayer right now. And if you're watching by Facebook Live, I want to lead you in prayer too. So if everyone prays together, if you just say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. And you have a plan for my life. I am so sorry for all my sin and for going my own way. Forgive me, Lord. Come and live in my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you today. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus?